to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. I don't know about you, but I have in my Bible pages that are so worn that it's amazing because certain parts of my Bible aren't worn as much as others. I seem to be finding myself in the well of blessings all the time, and I keep going back. The book of Ephesians is one of those books. It's a book, the first three chapters, that we should get into and be blessed by seeing all the wonderful things that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. Verse 3, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I could live on that verse alone for years. All spiritual blessings. Our text this morning is taken from Ephesians 1. I'm going to look at verse 6. And for those of you that like to take notes, I've entitled the message, Accepted but Not Acceptable. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What a glorious day of rejoicing it is when a sinner bound for the shores of the lake of fire can lay claim to this verse and call it their own. Our text promises us that no matter what our lot is in life, our God, the Creator, Jehovah Elohim, has accepted us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That means, regardless of your financial problems, regardless of your physical problems, your emotional problems, or even the trials and tribulations that you're going through, God is working them all out, ultimately for your own good. And he's only doing that because he has accepted you as an adopted son or daughter. That's why, under the divine inspiration of God, the Apostle Paul could promise us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. He goes on in Romans 8:33 to add, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And he adds in Ephesians, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, and I love this part, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let me ask you, as a believer, how can any believer have a bad hair day if they're holding on to these precious promises as they go through life? How can you have a bad day if you know that you're a member of God's household? Before we look at our verse, though, let's take a moment and pray. And let's ask God to open up our minds and our hearts. Father, as we come to this most precious verse that you've given us, we claim it, first of all, Lord, and we thank you for it. And we pray now as we open it up that your Spirit would walk amongst us. Help us to be Spirit taught. And we ask, if there be one here who knows not Christ, that you might draw them to yourself through the preaching of your word. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. This morning I'd like to point out two things about our text. First, I'd like to illustrate what it means to be accepted by God. And secondly, I'd like to show you that although we are accepted by God, we are not yet acceptable to God. When Paul writes, he made us accepted in the beloved, he's inferring that at one time we were not acceptable. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if Scripture teaches us anything, it teaches us that man comes into this world rejected by God and even condemned by God. The very moment we poke our heads out of this world, our tiny heart and mind are already shackled to sin. Romans 5:12 teaches us, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He's talking about the spiritual death gene all mankind inherits from our first parents, Adam and Eve. It's passed on to every generation. It's our nature to sin. When we come into this world, we don't come into this world with sin. We come into this world with the nature to sin. And that nature is just as strong and prevalent in us as howling is to a wolf. It's something they can't stop. And the same applies to sinners. That's why Paul wrote, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3, 10 and 12. You see, not only are we born rejected and condemned because of original sin, we're also rejected by God because we're born addicted to the world and the glitter of the world. Paul told the Ephesians that, and I'm telling you what Paul said. He said in Ephesians 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, and he uses that word we, including himself, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That text describes every human being that comes into this planet, that's born here. It explains where they are spiritually. You see, the world and the things of the world are at this very moment under the God of this world. That's one of the reasons why we're commanded in 1 John 2:15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is that you, beloved? Do you feel that draw of this world, the things of the world? Well, if you do, you have to cold turkey it. You have to get above it. The Bible says, seek not those things that are here. Seek those things that are above, where rust does not corrupt. That's one of the reasons why we're rejected by God. And we're rejected because we are born blind to God. And if that weren't bad enough, we're in bondage to Apollyon, the dark angel of the abyss. Paul told the Corinthians, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And he told the young preacher Timothy, when he was speaking with him about unbelievers and how he was to treat them, he said, be gentle, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14, mark this one down, underline it. It's yet another proof verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then our brother Paul sums it all up. Sums up what it's like to be rejected by God. He does that in Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's the bad news. But the text gives us, our text this morning gives us great news. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see, dearly beloved of God, before time or creation ever existed, the heart of Christ longed for his people. The prophet Jeremiah is a proof verse. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Jeremiah 31:3. And our beloved Lord himself teaches us in John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And he's talking to you, Pam, Jeff, Wink. He's talking to all of us that know him. In eternity past, before creation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost got together. They put together a book. It's called the Book of Life. And they wrote every name of every person who would one day be adopted and who would share heaven with them. Then in 1 week, we don't know when, about 10,000 years ago, they brought creation into existence and began bringing their children home. So you see, to be accepted by God, it really means everything. It means that we know the truth, the real truth, and that truth has set us free. We've been set free from original sin. We are born again. We are a new creature in Christ. Our old man is crucified, and we have a new nature because we have a new heart. That's why Paul cried out in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It also means that we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Romans 8:2 promises us, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you feel free? Do you understand that you're free? Do you understand that you know the truth? And it's because God has accepted you. It also means the wages of our sins have been paid in full. Jehovah Elohim's justice has been fully satisfied. Under the inspiration of God, the prophet Isaiah said about the coming Messiah, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisements of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That happened 800 years before the Messiah actually came. And John the Baptist cried out to the crowd in the wilderness, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And because our sins have been paid in full by a substitute, by a kinsman redeemer, we no longer have to pay the penalty for our sins ourselves. That means when the books are opened and all men are judged according to their works, we will not be thrown out into the outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and there is no rest day or night. That will not be our lot. Instead, our God will wipe away our tears, and we will drink from the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. That's a promise from Revelation 22:1. And our future is even brighter yet, Because God promises us in Romans 8, 14 and 17, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I know my brother Mel loves that verse in John 14, where the Lord's going to prepare a place for us. That's part of his future. That's part of every believer's future. And right now, Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you, Eric and Karen and Arthur. How do we know that? Because he said himself, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's yours, June. Elna, that belongs to you as well. Right now, our Lord Jesus is preparing a place for each and every one of his children, that he wrote their names in the book of life before eternity, before the creation ever existed. You were in his mind, Wink. Meredith, he knew you. He knew every part of your life from beginning to end. And he's about to claim all of us sooner or later. Let him come. Amen. The sooner the better. Amen. And the benefits of being accepted by God through Christ, they're not just spiritual blessings and future events. It's not just that. We can claim many of these benefits right now. For example, because we're accepted by God, Ephesians 2:18 promises us we have access to him. For through him, Paul writes, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You see, when you got saved, he gave you his Spirit because your spirit was dead. He gave you a new one. So now with that Spirit living within you, now you stand here on terra firma, but you're going all the way to heaven in your heart. Because your spirit is his spirit and you're communicating with him. People don't believe that you're bringing a little heaven down to earth, but you really are. There is heaven on earth and it's living right inside of you. Because we're accepted by God, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us he loves us. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How precious are those words? He careth for you. How many of us go through life wondering who cares for us? How many people have ever really cared for us? Peter says he careth for us. Because we're accepted by God, our sins, and just as important as our physical sins, the guilt of those sins are removed when we confess them. Is that not a blessing from heaven? When John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, those sins are that far from our Father in heaven. And the list goes on and on. Because we're accepted by God. Because we're accepted by God, we have a high priest in heaven who intercedes for us. We have an indwelling Holy Spirit that guides us, that leads us, and even prays for us. We have comfort in knowing God's providence is working for us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I don't know how many times in my Christian life I've heard people come up to me and say, brother, I feel so alone. I have no one. I live by myself. I'm not the most social person. I'm a very lonely person. And I almost get angry with them. Believer, you are a believer, are you not? You're never alone. You're never alone. He careth for you. He intercedes for you. And John 14, 18 promises us. He promises us with his own mouth, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's living within you. You're never alone. I don't care where you are. I don't care how many people are around you. You're never alone. Dear brothers and sisters, how many precious promises must I show you this morning before you understand that to be acceptable to God is the most important thing that could ever happen in your life? But I would add to that, knowing you're acceptable to God means very little if you don't claim and apply that knowledge to your life every day. It means nothing. Those Christians that talk about being lonely means nothing that the Holy Spirit is in them. Those Christians that are just hanging in there, doing okay, the Word of God means nothing to them because they're not applying it. They've taken this Word and they may have put it up here. They may have even put it in here, but they've never walked out of any building with that ready to apply it to their life. You have a problem? Use this. In our doctrines class this morning, we had two people give us two examples of problems in their life. Every one of them was answered right here. And they're just common problems that we all face. And the secret to it is, take I out of the picture and put him in the picture. And if you do that, then you've applied what you've learned. And that's really what we're called to do. I pray that God will enable each and every one of us to be able to take his word everywhere we go in our heart and then apply it to our lives and apply it to the lives of other people. And that brings me to my second point. And I'll close with this. Although we're accepted by God, we're not acceptable to him. That simply means that in God's eyes, all of us here are a work in progress. And here's what I mean. Paul teaches us in 1 Thessalonians 5:3 that a man or a woman is composed of three different parts. He writes, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you were born into this world, your spirit, that's the part of us that communes with God. When you were born, you cried out. You pulled that air into your lungs. You gave this flesh life. But within you, there was a dead spirit. We were born into this world dead, spiritually dead. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 2:1. You see, I go back to the book of Ephesians. That's why the pages are so worn out. 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But when you were born again, the Lord gave you his spirit, the Holy Ghost, so that he could adopt you and you could commune with him. Romans 8:15-16 is our proof verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, when you get the Spirit of God in your heart, you got a connection to heaven, to the Father. You're one of his children, children of light. We call this process of removing the old spirit from us, the old man, regeneration. It's God putting his spirit within us. So our spirit is ready to enter heaven. Every single believer listening to this message who knows Christ as Savior, You got one out of the three parts that you're made of fit for heaven. The other two are still a work in progress. So our spirit is ready to enter heaven. As a matter of fact, every time we pray, every time we pray to God, we enter the gates of heaven. The only problem is, for many Christians, prayer is just a dull religious habit. It has nothing to do with God's glory. It has nothing to do with weeping. How many of our tears are watered by our tears? When we pray for our loved ones, how many of us beg, God, save them? Oh, dear God. How many of us go to Revelation 14 and 11 and read about the smoke of their torment which ascendeth forever and ever? How many of us go to Revelation 20, 11 and read of the white throne judgment and then dare to believe that that's going to happen to people we love? And then pray. And I guarantee you, your prayers will be moistened. And you see, when you do that, you have God's attention. That's what David did, and that's what we should do. Pray, because you're in heaven's presence when you pray. There's still two parts of us, our soul and our body, that is not yet acceptable to God. Our soul, that's our intellect. It's our senses. It's that part of us that senses all the world around us. It's that person behind your eyes that only you know. And here, this is the stronghold of the will, the remnants of our old life. And how do we know that's true? Because we're saved by God's grace, and yet we're still sinners. I've said this twice, and this will be the third time, and three is a perfect number in Scripture. There's enough evil in every human being, in every saved believer. There's still enough evil that if hell, the flames of hell were put out, the darkness was gone, each believer could form a new hell themselves with just the evil we have within us, even as believers. That's our soul. And how do we know that's true? Because we haven't completely submitted ourselves to God yet. We know that's true because we still have an affection for the world and the things of the world. And for these reasons and others, many others, our soul is not yet acceptable to God. But our Heavenly Father has made a promise to us. We find that in Romans 8:29. He says to us that we will be conformed to the image of His Son. The process of being conformed is what we call sanctification. God is removing that part of us that is offensive to Him, and He's replacing it with a Christ-likeness. That's how our soul becomes fit for heaven. And finally, the third part of us that's unacceptable to God is our bodies. Because of sin, our bodies are perishable. And at some point, they're going to give up the spirit that lives within this body. And this body's going to return to dust from which it was made. Here's the reason why. The blood of Adam is forbidden from ever entering paradise. Forbidden. Paul told the Corinthians, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 15:50. That means before we're accepted by God, we must put off this fleshly tabernacle that's been contaminated by Adam's blood. And we must put on a spiritual body. Paul explains that process clearly in 1 Corinthians 15:42-44. Here he writes, "It is sown in corruption." He's referring to the body, the human body. "It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And because we still inhabit a natural body, we're unacceptable to God. So you see, my beloved, in God's eyes, we are accepted, but we're not yet quite acceptable. We're a work in progress. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. And we've been given a pledge. Mark this down. You have a pledge. You have a down payment. You have the first fruit of our redemption, the Bible says, which is the Holy Spirit. And he's given us not only a pledge, but also a helper, a comforter, and a guide, and an intercessor to help you as you sojourn here on this sin-drenched planet. So for these reasons and so many more, you should rejoice, brothers and sisters. Rejoice! Regardless of your situation in this life, rejoice! Because to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved. That text belongs to you, sister. It belongs to you. Claim it as your own. Live it every day. In closing, I tell my brothers and sisters, God would have you take this delicious verse home with you today. And like Daniel, purpose in your heart to apply it every day to your life and to somebody else's. Rejoice and be encouraged because you are accepted in the Beloved. And may God grant you the power to believe and to claim this text as your own. And now, for those of you who have not been accepted by God yet, you haven't been accepted because you haven't walked the hill of Golgotha. You haven't come to Calvary and washed your robe in the blood of the Lamb. Then you have to submit yourself to God through Christ Jesus. And if you do that, if you cry out his name, Jesus, save me, you will be acceptable by his Father. He will cleanse you from your sin, and then you too will be a work in progress. If I'm speaking to you, see me after the service or call me, and I'll show you in God's Word how he's calling you into his kingdom and how he wants you to be acceptable to him. Let's pray. Holy Father, as we claim this verse this morning, we pray also, Father, that you would indeed enable us to claim it in faith, believe it, chew on it, meditate on it, sleep on it, take it to work with us, take it everywhere, acceptable to God through the beloved, through his beloved Son. Acceptable but not accepted, God, help us to claim that. And God, help us and strengthen us as you form us into the image of your Son. For we ask it all for your glory and in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is found in the red hymnal on page 325. We'll stand and sing, When He Cometh, 325.